Welcome to another inspirational message from Gateway North Church based out of Winnipeg, Canada. Your Sunday sermon, any day of the week.
It's good to be together this morning, and we especially want to welcome people who are joining us online, listening and watching, and we welcome you. We're so glad that you have joined us as well today. Well, I'm going to start by talking about King Charles III, and his coronation was nearly a year ago now, and over 2,000 people gathered in Westminster Abbey. There were 16 monarchs there. There were 70 heads of state. There were 10 prime ministers. And the whole affair was watched by over 20 million people around the globe. There was pomp. There was ceremony. The royal golden carriage was pulled by magnificent horses. Regal garments were worn. Crown jewels were there to be seen. Trumpeters trumpeted in perfect unison. Choirs sang in perfection. Everyone wanted to see the king. And this king possesses 14 titles. He owns 8 palaces, many royal residences and mansions, as well as a personal fortune of almost $1 billion Canadian dollars. But the fact of the matter is, he's powerless. He reigns, but he doesn't rule. He has no authority. He can make appearances. Sometimes he pulls a cord and swishes back a velvet curtain to reveal maybe a highly polished plaque or a special painting. Sometimes he cuts a ribbon. Sometimes he cuts a cake. And sometimes he very carefully sprinkles a couple of shovels full of beautiful looking soil around a sapling. And that is called planting a tree. He signs documents, he attends briefings, he meets with politicians. But he can accomplish absolutely nothing. His powers are only symbolic. His headship is only ceremonial. He reigns, but he doesn't rule. He is a king in name only, with absolutely no authority in any area of life. But the Bible tells us that's not like our king. Our king, our God, is more than able. King Charles III is unable to do anything, but our king is more than able. Listen to some of the things the Bible tells us he's able to do. He's able to make us stand, Romans 14:4. He's able to establish us and make us strong. He's able to help us, Hebrews 2:8. 18. He's able to keep us, Jude and verse 24. He's able to provide for us, 2 Corinthians 9 and verse 3. No, verse 8. He's able to deliver us, Daniel 3:17. He's able to build us up, Acts 30 and 32. He's able to subdue all things, and he is able to present us faultless before God. He's able to guard and keep what I've entrusted to him, and he is able to save us completely. That's Hebrews 7:25. That's our king. Our king is able, not unable. He's able. Let me share my favorite verse with you, and it's found in the book of Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20. Now, all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think, or imagine. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. I'm just going to read that from a few different versions. He's able to do far more abundantly than all we could ask or think. He's able to do immeasurably more than we could ask or think. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we might ask, think, or imagine. And God can do anything, you know, we read in the message, far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. Now, I'm going to mesh all those different versions together, and so it could read something like this. God can do anything, you know, abundantly, immeasurably, exceedingly far more than you could ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations forever and ever. Amen. And so in case you haven't guessed, the title of my message is Our God is Able to Do Much More. He is able. The Spirit of the Lord on our King Jesus still anoints him to proclaim good news to the poor, to release the captives, to open the eyes of the blind and set free the oppressed, to declare to all the people for all time that the favor of Almighty God is available to us through the death of our King Jesus on the cross and his resurrection from the tomb and his ascension to his throne in heaven. That's our King who is able. Now, this isn't theory. It's not whistling in the wind. Our God is a God of action. It's not just sprinkling a shovelful or two of dirt round a tree, and that's about it, or swishing back a velvet curtain. Our God is a God of action. Listen, he rides across the heavens to help you. I love this. To help you, the word is Azir. It means military ally who brings strength to the battle. He's not trotting along. He's riding through the heavens to help us, to bring us aid across the skies in majestic splendor. Lord, Jeremiah says, Lord, there is no one like you. You are great and your name is full of power. Not a little bit, not on a good day. His name is full of power. He is who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Glorious in holiness, awesome in splendor, performing great wonders. That's from Exodus. Let me tell you about a great wonder that he did for us. The King's School used to have a classroom, an off-campus classroom, downtown, and it was specifically for the children of newcomers from war-affected countries. So as you can imagine, they'd all experienced trauma, they'd experienced loss. They had gone through circumstances that I could only try to imagine what that would have been like to live through. And a lot of those students came to know Jesus in our classroom. And one of our students, grade 6, 12, she went home one day after school, and she had an Ethiopian Orthodox father, and her mother was a Muslim. And she went home and found her mother just lying on her bed, not moving, and her eyes were shut, and in a little voice she said, I think I am dying. I have such pain from my head to my toes. I must be dying. She couldn't move. And she said to her daughter, "Will you pray for me like they pray in the classroom?" And so this girl who had recently come to know a personal Jesus said, "Yes, I'll pray." And she started to cry out to God and say, "Lord Jesus, I don't want my mama to die. Lord Jesus, in your name, will you touch her, take away this pain," just like we'd pray in the classroom. And as she started to pray in the name of Jesus, she started to call out to our King Jesus, who is able. And her mother started to shake, to tremble. She was still just laid out on the bed, but her whole body started to tremble from head to foot. And then suddenly her eyes opened wide and she broke out into a huge smile. And she said to her daughter, "The pain has gone. Jesus has taken away the pain. He's healed me. He's touched me. Our God is able." Yes? Is he still able? He is, yes. Let me tell you about little boy, 5-year-old boy. Oh dear, he was sitting at his table one morning and looked dreadful and was producing absolutely no work. So I called him over and I said, "Are you not feeling well?" "No," he said. He looked very sad. He sounded very sad. I said, "Would you like me to pray with you?" And he said, "Yes." So I prayed and I asked the Lord Jesus to come and touch him. And he said, "Thank you," and started to walk back to his place. So his back was to me and he took a few steps and then he stopped. And then I heard him say, "Whew, that was quick." And he did a little jump and went back to his chair and worked for the rest of the day. He never did have any time off school. Why? Because our King Jesus is able to do more than just sprinkle some dirt round a tree. He's able to do more than swish back a velvet curtain. He's able to do more than cut a cake or cut a ribbon. Our King Jesus is able. He's still able. He's a God of action. Amen. Yes? Amen. 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 He is able. Now, the second point is very long. And John said to me, "You've got too many words in this." So, which I ignored. He is able. He's able to do abundantly, immeasurably, exceedingly, far more than we could ask, think, or imagine. Now, asking is one thing. Thinking about how this could all work out is another thing. And then imagining is another thing. But he's able to do far, far, far more. This king, this action-oriented, able-to-do king, exceeds anything we could imagine, guess, request in our wildest dreams, and invites us to see that happen as we pray, as we pray. Let's remind ourselves of some of the things we've heard about prayer this month, shall we? Chris, on our first Sunday of this 3 weeks of prayer and fasting that we've been involved in, Chris reminded us how generous God is. We have a generous God who loves to answer prayer. And Chris urged us to, just like Scripture says, ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. Prayer isn't about twisting God's arm, or if I just shout loud enough. We don't need to work at making God willing. That willingness is already there, and it's about, in prayer, receiving from God's willingness to partner with us, hear us, and answer. God wants to answer as he listens. Thank you, Lord. That was Chris's contribution way back at the beginning. John helped us see that prayer is a partnership with God, and how we wield the scepter of delegated authority given us by a king who has absolute authority, and how together we can bring down strongholds through united, focused, corporate prayer, like those soldiers marching in unison across that iron bridge, the Broughton Suspension Bridge, do you remember? And they came to the bridge and they continued to march in unison. And the shock waves of their united effort traveled through the bridge and unraveled the iron. And since then, soldiers never march in unison across the bridge, because the engineers understand what that can accomplish, what it can undo, even with iron. And that was a picture for us. And then Ron challenged us just last week, and he said, when we pray, something, what? It does. And I thought of that line in the Waymaker's song, even when we don't see it, he's working. Even when we don't see it, he's working. So Ron challenged us that when we pray, something always happens and circumstances change. And he told us even a violent, gangster-ruled, maximum security prison can become a worshiping church and a house of prayer when people started to pray. What a turnaround. What a miracle. And that's our King Jesus. Now, these aren't just flat words on a page or a nice but passive promise. These promises are a living reality because Jesus is a living reality. The crucified, resurrected, living Son of God, King Jesus, alive and active in our world today and in our lives, if we've invited him to be our personal Savior and our Lord and the treasure of our heart. Let me just tell you a story or two where I've encountered King Jesus doing what seemed to be impossible, but of course, not for him. Again, when I was working in the downtown classroom with these very needy, often malnourished children, one morning, we hadn't been going long, but one morning, to my shock, I realized I had quite a number of hungry children in the classroom. And it was only the beginning of the morning. They were hungry, and then some of them started to cry, and they said, I'm so hungry, and they hadn't brought any food with them. And this really distressed me, and I went through to what we called the staff room, and there were one or two adults in there, and I started to pray, and I said, Lord Jesus, I have hungry children the other side of that door and no food to give them. Would you please send some? The children went out to recess. They came back in. Not an hour after praying that prayer, there was a knock at our door. One of our volunteer helpers came in, and she was holding some flats of eggs. And she said, I've got 3 dozen eggs here. I've hard-boiled them. maybe the children could do an art project and perhaps paint the shells. I said, oh no, it's not an art project. They're going to eat them. I carried them through and I said, you're an answer to prayer. An hour or a little more ago, I said, Lord, we have hungry children, no food, would you send some? And here you come with 3 dozen hard-boiled eggs. We had 18 children in the class. Every child could have 2 eggs. And what I didn't know was these children from Africa all loved eggs and didn't very often get them. What an answer. How King Jesus said, I see the children, don't worry. I'm riding across the heavens to help you, to bring you aid. The eggs are on the way. Wonderful, wonderful. Don't know what comes next, just a minute. Eggs came. A milk program was established. A breakfast program, porridge was made every morning. A hot lunch program was established. I thought God called me down there to teach these children how to speak, read, and write English. But he had so many other ideas in mind. The cello section of the Winnipeg Symphony Orchestra heard about our classroom, heard about the milk program. And during a rehearsal one night, whilst the conductor was dealing with other sections of the orchestra, the cello section, someone told the rest about the classroom, these children from war-affected countries, the cello section had a whip round and sent a very healthy check a few days later for the milk program. The milk program that I knew nothing about when I said yes, when Peter asked me if I would pray about going downtown, working in this classroom, pioneering something for the children of newcomers. I didn't know there was going to be a milk program or a breakfast program or a hot lunch program, but King Jesus knew. He already knew what was in his heart. He's able to do so much more than we can ask, think, or imagine. I got offended with God because at the end of the Christmas term, we would pray that gifts would come in for the children. And the last Christmas we were downtown, I did get offended with God. We never made the need known. We just prayed. And as I looked at those bags, they were a good size Christmas carrier bag, crammed full with hats and scarves and mittens and gloves and books and jewelry for the girls and all manner of things. And as I watched these children diving into these bags and unwrapping their gifts and squealing with delight, I said, Lord, it's too much. This is over the top. And I realized my heart was hard. And I was offended at the goodness of God. And I had to repent. And I realized it was just a demonstration of how much he loved them. Just what it was. And being King Jesus, he didn't send a couple of little books and a chocolate bar and maybe a pair of gloves. He was lavish. He was over the top because that's our King. That's our King. University of Manitoba professor phoned and said, I've got a fridge. I hear you have food for the children. I'm going to bring it tonight. Can somebody be there and open up for me? I'll bring it in. It's okay. It's all taken care of. The day that fridge, which served us for about 3 years, big, tall fridge, it died. I came in one morning and it's sitting in a small lake. I thought, it's over. And I said to Julia, my co-worker, we need to pray and ask God for another fridge. But we hadn't prayed yet.
That afternoon, a phone call came in, and one of our volunteer helpers said, "My husband and I felt so compelled this morning to go out and buy a new fridge for the classroom. Can we bring it now?" We didn't even have to wait one day without a fridge. God sent a brand new one just a few hours after the other one died. That's our King. We needed a place, a space in a daycare for one of our grandchildren. And there was no space in the entire city. There was no spare space in any daycare anywhere. And John and I were talking about it in the car one day. And something stirred inside me. I thought, just a minute. There may not be a space right now, but there's going to be, because we're going to ask the King. So we started praying, and it went something like this. Lord Jesus, there is no space, no daycare space anywhere in the city of Winnipeg right now. But Lord, we're asking you for one. We need one. And you are the one who is able and more than able to do abundantly more than we can ask, think, or imagine. Now, Lord Jesus, I don't know how you're going to do it. I don't know where you're going to find it. But thank you. Thank you, Lord. This daycare space is coming. And so I got really excited. I thought, how's God going to do this? I'll tell you what happened. A few days later, nobody was hurt, but the daycare center in the area that where we were looking in particular, that daycare center burnt down. No one was hurt. Rapidly, that daycare program was moved into another building, a much larger building. And with a larger building, spaces became free. And we received a phone call only a few days after we'd started to pray, saying, there's a space, come free. And our grandson, he had his space in daycare, where a week before there'd been no space anywhere in the entire city. But we took our need, we took our plea, we cried out to King Jesus. And he said, yes, I can do that. We'll make room. I have a plan. And that place was provided for our little grandson. I think many of you have heard about John's bag fiasco last summer in Geneva Airport. We got on the plane from Geneva to fly to England, and somehow he left his bag in the departure lounge. And we're on the plane, and suddenly panic stations from John. Have you got my bag? No, I haven't. Are you sure you haven't got? No, I haven't got it. Oh, where's my bag? Oh, I think I left it in the departure lounge. And then he's scuttling up the aisle there, talking to cabin crew, saying, I must get off the plane. They're saying, no, you can't get off the plane, sir. But I must. My bag is in the lounge, and so on. They phoned through. His bag was found and put into lost property. And we had to fly off to England without it. Fortunately, he had his passport in his pocket, but nothing else. Driving license that we could use in England, his bank cards, everything, all the stuff, your life that you keep with you. It was all in Geneva, and now we were going to England. So all hot and bothered, John made his way up the aisle. He sat in the wrong seat. He sat in the wrong row. But as far as King Jesus was concerned, he sat next to the right person. So he plonks down in his seat, and the man beside him, his seat buddy, says, "Are you all right? Is everything all right?" And John tells him the story. This man said, "I'm a banker. I fly to Geneva once a week, every week. Would you like me to bring your bag back next week? I fly every Thursday. Would you like me to bring it back for you?" Now, cerebrally, with my head, with our heads, we could think, don't be so daft. You don't know this man. You don't even know his name. He's going to fleece you. But as we talked, we said the fingerprints of God are on this. John was sitting in the wrong seat. He's even in the wrong row. But he's sitting probably next to the one man or the one person on that entire flight who flies to Geneva once a week, every week. And we thought, Lord, I think you're in this. And so we said, yes, would you bring it back? We exchanged information, we emailed. We said, well, where do you live? He could have lived hours away from where we were staying with family. And when he told us, he was just 20 minutes down the road. That's all. So he said, Lord, you're looking after us. And we arranged that he would fly to Geneva as usually on the Thursday of the following week, bring John's bag back, all would be well. And so we kept praying about it during the week, blessing the Lord for his provision. Thank you, Father. And next Thursday came, we didn't hear anything. And then late in the evening, this man phoned and said, I'm so sorry, I don't have it. There was an unplanned meeting after work I had to attend, made me late. I was literally running through the airport. I had no time to go to lost property and pick up your bag. And you think, has he got it? And he's keeping it, including John's Apple phone and his Apple Watch and all those cards that were in there. Have we been fleeced? What do we do? And then I heard a voice. It was the voice of God. When God speaks to me, he often asks me a question, or else he makes a statement. Well, this was one of his questions. So, you could trust me for 1 week. Can you trust me for 2? Because this man had said, I'm so sorry, but I'll do it next week on Thursday when I go. So, Val, you could trust me for 1 week. Can you trust me for 2? And I was taken back, actually. I thought, well, it's a very good question. Being honest, it's always best to be honest with God. It's a very good question. Can I? And then I thought, actually, it's not about me. It's about who he is. It's about our King, who doesn't just reign, but he rules. I said, yes, Lord, we'll trust you for a second week. And Thursday came round. Meanwhile, I was doing all the driving. Yay! John's license was in Geneva. Thursday came round, and we were waiting a little bit anxiously for the email, and in it came, I've got your bag. I've brought it back. When would you like to come and get it? We got in the car. We drove just 20 minutes down the road and met with this delightful banker who handed over John's bag. And in it was everything just as we had left it. just as we had left it, our King, awesome in splendor, performing great wonders, whose name is full of power, Jeremiah says, and who rides across the heavens to help us, we read in Deuteronomy. Now, I could speak for a lot longer about who our God is. I love it. I love looking back and seeing the ways in which he has come through for us. He's come through for me. He came through time and time again in our downtown classroom and performed wonders and provided beyond our wildest dreams in so many different ways. I can see Marv over there. I remember I was praying for windows. We had such old windows. They looked like something out of a Dickens novel or something. They were just appalling. But there was no money for windows. And I was shopping, actually, in KP one evening. My phone went, and it was Marv on the other end. And he said, "Those windows that you want." And I said, "Yes." Because with King Jesus, we don't have to take no as an answer. Okay, we didn't have money for windows, but I started to talk to the Lord about it and said, "But we need windows. These are appalling. They won't do. We need fresh windows. Would you somehow work this out?" Marv called me. "Windows?" "Yes," Marv was still praying. He said, "I've just met my old hockey coach." So I'm just listening. "Oh, yes." He said, "Yes, he's involved in the manufacturing of windows these days. Now, what sort did you want?" Because I'd been very specific with the Lord about what I wanted. And I wanted those, are they called sash windows? They go up from the bottom. I thought they'd let in a nice breeze into the classrooms that we had there. So I told Marv this. He said, "Hang on." And he talked to his old hockey coach. And the windows came and were fitted. And they came as a gift. And God provided. Where do you stop? Where do you stop? This is our King. A book was written some years ago. The title was "Your God is Too Small." Your God is too small. And I'm challenged sometimes because I make my God too small, when actually he is able to do so much more than I can ask or think or imagine. I wonder if the Holy Spirit doesn't want to challenge us this morning, and I include myself in the us. I wonder if for some of us, we just feel, "I need an increase in my faith. I want to start believing in King Jesus like I haven't done before. Maybe, yeah, I've prayed, but they've been safe prayers. And maybe, like the father of the deaf and dumb boy, we would say to the Lord this morning, "I believe, but help my unbelief." So I wonder if the Holy Spirit isn't here for some of us this morning to say, "Yes, I hear you. I hear your heart cry. I see the desire of your heart, that you're calling out to me to stretch my heart, enlarge my heart, Father. Enlarge my heart so that I can receive more of yours." I wonder if there are some people, and that's your heart cry this morning. And I wonder if there are some people here too, and you have been praying, you have been asking and seeking the face of God and seeking the face of God and knocking and keeping on knocking. And I wonder if some of us here this morning would just love to see a breakthrough in what they're asking King Jesus for, the one who has the absolute power and authority. And so Peter and Josh are going to come up at this point. So I hope what you've heard this morning, you've heard all about King Jesus. King Charles III has it all, has all the pomp, all the ceremony, all the robes, all the titles. But he can't actually do anything. Reigns, but doesn't rule. And I hope this morning we've considered together who King Jesus really is and what he's able to do and how he invites us into a partnership with him in prayer. And he says, ask me and see what I will do.
Thank you for tuning in to the Gateway North podcast. We hope you've been challenged and inspired from God's word. To find out more about Gateway Church, head to gatewaywinnipeg.com.